Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Monday, June 3rd. Today, Outdoors reporter Jason Blevins looks at the potential fallout from the Colorado Supreme Court's recent decision concerning liability waivers and how it might affect the outdoors industry. Before we begin, Elevation Music Festival is back. Join us in Alma, Colorado, August 16th to 17th for an unforgettable weekend of top-tier music against stunning mountain vistas. Enjoy world-class performances and immerse yourself in the beauty of the highest incorporated town in North America. Don't miss out. Visit ElevationMusicFest.com for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On June 3, 1921, Pueblo faced a devastating flood that remains one of the state's deadliest natural disasters. Heavy rains swelled the Arkansas River and its tributaries, breaching levees and causing widespread destruction. The flood swept away homes, severed utilities, and started uncontrollable fires, leaving the city and surrounding counties in ruins. The disaster caused nearly $20 million in damages and an uncertain death toll, with official records showing 78 bodies recovered, but estimates in the hundreds. Relief efforts included federal aid, Red Cross donations, and state-funded flood control projects. By 1924, concrete embankments were built, but Pueblo's recovery, both physical and emotional, was a long and difficult process. Before we continue, join the Colorado Sun on June 25th as equity reporter Tatiana Flowers speaks with a panel about how they see mental illness falling through the cracks, what some solutions are, or ways to address the issues, and more. The event is free and virtual. RSVP today at coloradosun.com/events. Now our feature story.
Hey, thanks for listening today, everyone. I'm David Krause, one of the team editors here at The Sun, and I'm happy to be rejoined with my good friend and outdoors reporter, Jason Blevins. Hey, Jason Blevins, how's the day treating you?
Hey, it's going well, David Krause.
Jason, I've been away for a little bit, but back at it here as we start a new month, getting ready for the summer season. But Jason, really interesting ruling recently. Thought we'd just jump right in. Potential fallout from a recent Colorado Supreme Court ruling concerning liability waivers and as they relate to the outdoor industry. Jason, give us a good 411 on what's happening.
Yeah, sure. Landmark ruling from the Colorado Supreme Court earlier this month that ruled that ski resorts cannot use liability waivers to escape liability claims involving state laws around chairlifts. You know, the Colorado Ski Safety Act outlines specific responsibilities of skiers. You know, you have to be aware of the inherent risks of skiing. You can't sue a resort for a rock or you know, a tree or things like that and that you ran into. But the liability waivers, which are ubiquitous, we all sign them, we all have them, whether you buy a lift ticket, whether you rent a ski pole or a buy season pass, it all comes with these, you know, couple pages of click through releases, liability releases. Supreme Court ruled that you cannot use those liability waivers to get out of negligence claims involving violations of state laws, like, you know, governing things like chairlifts. It's a really important decision and the first of its kind to come from the Colorado High Court there. And it had been something that the resort industry and other recreational groups had vehemently opposed. They did not want to see a weakening of liability waivers. Liability waivers enable resorts to keep insurance costs low and allow them to, you know, sort of take people down risky rivers, you know, for rafting outfitters, take kids camping in the woods and that sort of thing. So there's liability waivers are everywhere and a, you know, essential part of a lot of business in Colorado and a really an important component of the outdoor recreation industry. And the Supreme Court ruling was the first of its kind to kind of scrutinize the use of those and how much of a shield they provide to ski resorts who have used them for decades, saying anytime someone sues the resort and says, I was injured because of this, they say, you signed a waiver. And this all stems from a teenager, Annie Miller from Oklahoma, who fell from the Crested Butte Mountain Resort Paradise chairlift in 2022 and was paralyzed. Just a tragic accident. The family argues that there was some negligence there involving the lift operators and their training, and the resort had countered, which is owned by Vail Resorts. The resort had countered, you can't sue us because you signed a liability waiver. And didn't even, you know, really argue around whether there was negligence, whether the resort operator or the lift operator could have done a better job. The argument has always boiled down to you signed a waiver, dismiss. And so they tried to get the case dismissed. It was dismissed in lower court, and this appealed all the way up to Supreme Court. And that's where this decision came down. One of the interesting things, and sort of the story I wrote for this week, is looking at, you know, the Colorado Ski Country, Colorado River Outfitters Association, Colorado Camps Network all came together saying, man, Supreme Court, if you rule against liability waivers, we could see insurance costs spike. We could see bans on children participating in organized recreation. Kids could not go camping. Kids could not ride in rafts. Smaller operators are going to go under because they can't afford to pay for insurance. You know, we may have, you know, kids not allowed to buy a season pass, or who knows? Like, there are a lot of dire predictions out there saying that, you know, this, if these liability waivers are weakened, we could see all sorts of implications. And, you know, obviously this decision is mere weeks old. We have not seen that, but, you know, I tried to push this a little forward and get people to speculate on what could happen now that this Supreme Court decision. Could we see that ban on children in organized recreation, or could we see increased costs, you know, that are associated with increased insurance payments by resorts and recreation providers? So it's a huge decision with a lot of ramifications, and we're still kind of looking at where those are going to lead us.
Jason, you kind of mentioned some of these dire concerns by the industry. You know, we're looking at a shakeup. Do you see this? You know, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled on it. Could it get pushed to the higher court? Are we looking at something where it could get challenged in a different court? What are the options if the outdoor industry wants to keep pushing back on this? Are there any?
Yeah, well, I mean, the decision by the Colorado Supreme Court pushes back this whole case, this Annie Miller's case, back to the Broomfield District Court, which was where the case was originally filed. Vail Resorts obviously is based in Broomfield, and as the owner of Crested Butte Mountain Resort, that was the location for the lawsuit. But there, so we have to wait for the how that court's going to rule. That could go to jury trial. It could be settled. It could, who knows how it's going to end. But the decision by the Colorado Supreme Court overturns the original lower court's motion to dismiss and sort of sends it back to that courthouse in Broomfield to kind of, you know, reevaluate this without the liability waiver argument. So we have to wait for the, you know, sort of outcome of this particular case to really know where this might end up. But the fact that we have a legal precedent from the Supreme Court that is critical of liability waivers is the precedent setting sort of monumental decision that will have the most sweeping impact, regardless of how the Miller case is resolved.
Jason, you mentioned in the story a chance that the resort industry will work with lawmakers, state lawmakers, right, to kind of, as you put it, legislate around the opinion. What would that look like? Do you see momentum starting to gather there?
Yeah. So in 2020, Utah lawmakers, well, we'll start with, and before that, and Utah Supreme Court made a decision very similar to the Colorado Supreme Court decision that said, hey, you know, I don't think these liability waivers are sort of a blanket shield for all negligence claims. Like, I think we need to, you know, have portions of negligence claims that cannot be dismissed with this, you know, these liability waivers. Very similar to what Colorado ruled. Utah lawmakers in 2020 added a provision to their sort of Ski Safety Act. It's a different name, but their ski statute that authorized resort operators to obtain waivers, you know, so they sort of codified the whole use of liability waivers, put it into the legislation. And you know, some trial attorneys in Colorado seem rather sure that the ski industry will work with lawmakers to add something to the Ski Safety Act to make sure that liability waivers are somewhere in there. What that means, how that might look, has yet to be determined. And the industry itself said it's too early to say if that's the path they're going to take. But lawmakers in Utah took a similar path. So it wouldn't be that shocking to see some sort of adjustment to the Ski Safety Act. That Ski Safety Act dates back to the late 1970s. It's been amended many times to include things like terrain parks, which weren't necessarily around in the late 1970s. And so there's always, the industry's always tinkering with the Ski Safety Act to make sure that it, addresses sort of today's resort industry trends.
Jason, do you think, last question for today, do you think this will force ski industries to change how they train lift operators and kind of some of the procedures and protocols there to help improve safety as far as loading, unloading, when to stop, those kind of things?
Yeah. So, there's state, federal standards on tramway operations, just like any transportation type of operation. And, those are created by amusement parks as well as resort operators, as well as, a very diverse group that creates those standards. And, the industry, the Miller family has argued that the lift operator that day at the Paradise chairlift should have stopped the chair, reversed it, and brought her back down as they were screaming for help. And, the lift continued to go and she was not in her seat. She was hanging down. Her dad was hanging on to her. Just horrible scene. But the industry has adjusted its regulations to include things like, a lift operator can wait and see. It used to be that a lift operator, any issue, stop the lift. Now it's more like, well, hold on, take a second, make sure that, there are other options that can be explored before you stop the lift. So, there is very robust rules around lift operation. It's one of the few parts of the Ski Safety Act where the resort has a lot of obligations, whereas, skiers share a lot of responsibility for safety when you're skiing on the mountain. The resorts largely have responsibility for running safe chairlifts. And chairlift travel is truly one of the safest ways to travel, and way safer in a car in terms of miles traveled. But there, I think there trial lawyers have long argued that there should be better training and increased training and regulations around chairlift safety, always room for improvement. So it's hard to say if this will result in it, but again, the resort industry always makes adjustments, is always sort of adjusting this and that in the regulation and working with lawmakers and working with policymakers to try to make sure that the industry can continue to bring people skiing and let them ride chairlifts and things like that without onerous insurance payments and fear of lawsuits and things like that. So will it result in changes in regulation? Possibly. Will it result in new legislation allowing for, liability waivers? Possibly. Again, it's too early to see, but these are all sort of conversations that are floating around this landmark decision from the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago.
Jason, always good to catch up with you, buddy. Thanks for the insight, and thanks to everybody for listening. If you want to read more about the Colorado outdoors, I encourage you to go to coloradosun.com. And also, while you're at it, if you enjoy the podcast so much, please take a minute and give us a 5-star review on whatever your favorite podcast platform is. We appreciate the love. Jason Blevins, make it a great week, buddy.
Thanks, you guys.
Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Investigators are collecting evidence near a remote camping area in Park County after human remains were found last week. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation said two hikers made the discovery May 28th near the Deer Creek campground outside Bailey on U.S. Forest Service land. The agency said it would conduct a meticulous examination to help identify the person and gather details on what happened. If voters adopt statewide ranked choice voting in November, Colorado may prevent it from taking effect. That's after lawmakers added new provisions to an elections overhaul that's waiting on a signature from Governor Jared Polis. The bill says that 12 cities must experiment with ranked choice elections before the model could be used statewide, potentially adding months or even years to any rollout. Now, proponents of ranked choice voting are asking Polis to veto the bill, while county clerks support the new provision and want him to sign it. Southwestern Colorado has just 6% of its peak snowpack remaining after a rare, sudden, and large melt in late April. Snow that gathers in Colorado's mountains is a key water source for the state. A fast, early spring runoff can mean less water for farmers, ranchers, ecosystems, and others in late summer. While the snow in northern Colorado is just starting to melt, southern river basins saw their largest early snowpack drop-off this season. So far, irrigators in Dolores and Montezuma are avoiding the worst impacts thanks to excess water from 2023 being held in a reservoir. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
I'm Lauren Wynot, Director of Membership at the Colorado Sun. I came to work at the Sun because quality, trustworthy journalism is important. As a reader and listener, I find the Sun to be a breath of fresh air. The journalists tell Colorado stories that keep me informed, entertained, and engaged. If you also trust the Sun for your news, join me as a member at coloradosun.com/join. Your support helps to bring you and other Coloradans the news you deserve. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you.